2 Timothy chapter number 3, and we'll start reading today with verse number 16, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. That's verse 17. So let's all stand to our feet, if you would please, in reverence and respect to the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, starting with verse number 16. And the Bible says, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." I want to speak to you on this subject this morning. All Scripture. All Scripture. Father, thank you so much for this new year that we're about to have. For 2015. I didn't know if I'd live to see this year, and yet it's right here at the doorstep. And I'm grateful for having this opportunity. I ask that you'd help us to take this simple truth this morning as we prepare for a new year, and help us to prepare through this preaching for the work that you'd have us to do through your word in this new coming year. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Noah Webster, the great Christian educator, who completed the most famous dictionary of time, once said, "The Scriptures were intended by God to be the guide of human reasoning." He also said on another occasion, "The Bible was America's basic textbook in all fields of life." I have to agree with him. I agree with Mr. Webster that God intended for us to have a guidebook, so he gave us the Bible. It's a guideline in which to live our life. I also agree with him that in the United States of America, for sure, which was established for the freedom of religion, so we could stand upon the Word of God and live by it and walk in it and in its truth and in its power, I do believe it's the textbook for every field of living that we're in. We also see in our Scripture today that the Scripture was given by God, not by men, not by angels, not by a vision, but by God. It says here, all Scripture was given by the inspiration of God. And I'm glad that God gave us His Word. And by the way, that's the way we ought to look at the Bible. It is God's Word. It's not my Word. It's not your Word. It's not the angels' words. It's not the saints' words. It's not a religious Word. It's not a Word that was put out there to formulate a religion. It's God's Word that is a textbook for you and I to use as we go through everyday, ordinary life. God used holy men to record, or pen, if you will, His record of truth for mankind. He breathed into them the very words to write His Bible. That's why it says all Scripture is given by inspiration. The word inspiration means the breath of God, or God breathed. We also know that God used men to record it, like a secretary would be used. They took out their pen, and as they heard God speak by Him breathing their word into them, they would write it down, and it became altogether what we have today, the full text of the Word of God. Both Old Testament and New Testament are all the Word of God. As 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So just as much as the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, and we learned about that at Christmas time, we talked about that, we're still in that Christmas timeline area, as just as the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, and that which was born of her was of God, not of man, just so God moved upon men as they penned the Word of God, and it's God's Word, not man's Word. Because God breathed it into existence. The Holy Spirit moved upon these men. By the Holy Ghost received the words of God. So let me give you some things we can learn from the Scripture this morning. Number one, this book is the very Word of God. This Bible I hold in my hand, the Bible you hold in your hand today, is the very Word of God. And God will preserve it. God will preserve His Word. Now, I think often about the brevity of life, how short it is. And I think about some people, they live their whole life and then they pass on. They go off into eternity. And how much of them nobody knows about anymore. You know, I remember my dad. I remember things my dad said. I remember how my dad taught me growing up. I remember my dad as I became a young man and how I would go to him for wisdom. I remember that when I was young, a young pastor, though my dad wasn't a Christian till the last few years of his life, how as a young Christian, a young pastor, as a young daddy, I would call my dad every week and just ask his opinion about some things that I wasn't sure of. Not in the ministry as much as in daily living. Sometimes I followed his advice, and sometimes I didn't follow his advice, but I remember talking to him often and getting his thoughts on some things. And then I think of the fact that it's been 23 years since my dad passed away. And I've got cousins who don't remember my dad much anymore. And I know their children don't even know who my dad was. And the memory of many people over a period of time slowly drifts off. I'm encouraged at times when my children say, I remember this or remember that. My daughter Jennifer recently sent me a text, and in that text was a photograph of my dad and my uncle and a great uncle. And my daughter sent me this text and said, hey, the person posted this on Facebook. They talked about Uncle Rich, my uncle. And she said, but I don't know the man who's sitting down. And when I saw the picture, I immediately saw Grandpa. And it excited me how that excited she was to see a picture of my dad, her grandpa. Yet when she died, she was probably about 8 years old. When he died, she was probably about 8 years old. That sounds about right. Or younger. And yet she remembers my dad. To a certain extent. And we would think by now, after 2,000 years, there'd be a lot about Jesus we wouldn't know. But God gave us His Word. And He's preserved it. Not many words are preserved. Oh, we can quote a person here or quote a person there, like I quoted Noah Webster here just a little bit ago. But the truth is that no one has been written about as much as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And nothing's ever been preserved like His Word has been preserved. His Word stands the test of time. When we read the Bible, we should appreciate it that it's as if it's Jesus Christ sitting down Himself and speaking to us on a one-on-one basis, because it really is. It's God's Word. And He gave it for you and for me to have. I have locked in my safe a card that my dad wrote me. It was a little thank you note for when he went in for heart surgery just a few years before he passed away. And I prayed for him before he went in, and he wrote me a little note after he got out of the hospital that said, thank you for caring and coming all the way out here just to pray for me. And I lived far away at that time. And I've kept that note in my safe. I treasure it. I don't have a lot of things my dad wrote. And yet he took the time to write that note to me. I count it as a very precious, treasured item in my life. So treasured, I keep it in a locked safe. Well, what do you keep in a locked safe? Things of great value to you, right? Oh, nobody else, somebody else, they broke into my house and they got my safe open. They wouldn't find much there of great value to them. There's barely any money in there. I think it's just some coins that I've collected over the years. Probably average total maybe amount of $50 in value. Videotapes of when my children were young. The note from my dad. If you think, I got my dad's driver's license there, the last driver's license he had. I got things of my mom's in there. Little minor. I got my dad's straight razor he used to use. Now they went from being a collector's item to being a unique thing brought back to society. And I've had one of my dad's for years and years, locked in a safe. Those are treasured items to me. They're things I'm preserving. And yet God gave us a treasured item, His Word, His preserved Word, the value, the very special Word. A Word that not only God's Word was breathed in the holy men of old, but it's been preserved throughout the centuries. And now I have a copy of it. It's my copy. And I get to read it. And I get to treasure it. I get to value it. It's been burned, but not destroyed. It's been forbidden in parts of the world, but not taken away. It's been rejected by many men, but it's still strong today. It's been God's word has been preserved because God has promised that He would always have His Word for His people. And ladies and gentlemen, I have my love letter in my hand from my God to me. And so do you. And it's written to us on an individual basis as well. Matthew chapter 24, verse 25 says this, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Psalm 119 and verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It's God's word. It is settled forever. And no matter what men try to do to it, or how much they try to get rid of God, or how much they try to get rid of Christianity, or how much they try to get rid of people who stand up for that which is the word of God, God will keep His word. He preserved His word. He's promised it. And by the way, He has done it. What a great promise. In God's word, we find truth about eternal life. We read about God's love. We receive guidance for wisdom in our daily living. Those are all things that God has provided for you and I and preserved for you and I in His Word. Number two, we learn this. God's Word is profitable. God's Word will bring you and I some profit. The Scriptures are helpful, and so we need to use them. God provides direction for you and I through His Word. He provides solutions to problems that you and I face every day through His Word. He helps me and He helps you through His Word. He has provided us the answer and all in His Word, and all we have to do is apply His Word to have that answer. If someone were to give me a book that told me that inside this book was a guide to learning to how to have a happy life and a successful life, we'd read that thing. We'd read it in a matter of minutes, at least I would. And yet that's exactly what we have in the Bible, the Word of God. God's Word is so much more than a guide for happy life. It shows us how to have eternal life. It shows us how to take that which is temporal and turn it into eternal. I don't underestimate the power of the Word of God. And don't underestimate the power the Word of God can have on your life if we read it daily. We need to read God's Word daily so that you and I can put to a test, if you will, the power of God to see if He'll do what His Word says. And when I read it every day, I find out more and more what it has to say and how I can apply it to life. And then I get to challenge it. God, are you going to do this? This is what you said you're going to do. And man, He does it. And again, my faith grows. Because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I remember when I was a boy, my dad would come home from work. And when my dad come home from work, he'd get to home about 5:30, 6 o'clock, and my mama would be getting dinner ready, and my dad would sit down and he'd say, I want to watch the news. I want to find out what's happened today. And he'd sit down and we'd watch that 30-minute newscast that was on from coast to coast. The national news. And we would sit down and we'd eat, and then my dad would go over to the couch and he'd pick up the newspaper. And he'd read all about the happenings of the last 24 hours. Now today we have news on a 24-hour basis on cable. You can go to Fox News or CNN or CNBC or any of these news outlets today and you can hear the news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. My dad wanted to find out what was going on. I remember that. I remember the fact that he wanted to know what was going on around him. He wanted to find out what was going on so that he could make plans. He wanted to know how the stock market was doing. He wanted to know how businesses were doing. He wanted to know how life was going so that he could make plans on the safety and the and provision for his family. So he'd read the news. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to find out how I can have the best provision for my family. And I'm not going to find that on Fox News or CNN or CNBC or any of the cable stations. Can I tell you where we're going to find it? I'm going to find it right here, reading the Word of God. And just as my dad was hungry every day to hear what was going on, I need to be hungry every day to find out what God has for me for today. So don't underestimate it. The power that God, the power of God will put in your life as we read it. Day. Let God speak to you every day through His Word as we go into the year 2015. Hard to believe that. 2015. Number three. What else can we learn from the Scripture? God's Word is profitable. Not just for living, but for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. That's what we see in those verses. That verse. God's Word is profitable. For doctrine, that means it's profitable for a set of beliefs that we can live by. Can I tell you what's wrong with America today? I'll really mean this. The biggest problem America has today is we don't know what we should believe and what we shouldn't believe. We don't know which direction to go and what direction not to go. America needs a set of beliefs that they can say, this is the right way, this is the wrong way. Everybody comes up with all these different ideas, but may I be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen? The truth of the matter is that God has a way. He has a set of policies and procedures. We call them doctrines. A set of beliefs to live by. You know, like, don't lie, tell the truth. Love thy neighbor as you love thyself. Jesus was born of a virgin, Mary. An impossible, impractical, unbelievable birth of the power of God. That God raised up Lazarus from the dead because God raises up the dead. That Jesus will save you forever by trusting Jesus Christ in Him alone. Those are all doctrines, teachings, guidelines, beliefs that come from the Word of God. So it's profitable for doctrine. Not only is it profitable for doctrine, it's profitable for reproof. Reproof means a set of convictions. A set of convictions. It's profitable as a set of convictions. Listen, I know it's wrong to kill for no reason. It's wrong just to go out and murder somebody. Amen? That's wrong. Why? I'm convinced of it. I'm convicted of it. God reproves me of it. Murder is wrong. lying is wrong. Cheating is wrong. All of these things are reproofs. God reproves us. He convicts us and convinces us of the proper ways to live. It's not right to hate someone. I don't care what sin man commits. It's not right to hate him. That's hard for most of us. It's easy to love someone who loves you. It's easy to love someone who treats you right. It's hard to love somebody who goes against everything you stand for. Yet God says that we're to love our neighbor regardless of how they behave. You know what that is? That's a reproof. It's hard to forgive people. Yet that's a conviction that God teaches us to forgive. We talked about this, I think, last week in Sunday school. How difficult forgiving someone can be. But the truth is, that's what God wants us to do. That's a reproof. God's teaching us that we need to stand for Him. Reproof for convictions. Nothing would change America greater if we stood on the convictions of the Word of God. If we stood on His beliefs, His doctrine, if we stood on His reproof or convictions. Right is right, wrong is wrong. There is no in between. But we love everyone regardless of how they behave. That's right. Next, he says, God's Word is profitable for correction. The word correction means to set disorder into order. Correction means to set disorder into order. When a child decides to get wild and out of control, we correct them by setting disorder into order. I'm terrible. I'm a terrible grandpa. I stir up my grandkids so quick. I go in and I start having fun with them and playing, and before you know it, I know when to stop. But they don't know when to stop. My wife says, I don't even know when to stop. But as a grandpa, I go in, I get them all stirred up, we get all excited, and then I gotta take that disarray and set it back into order. Okay, it's time to relax now. Okay, don't punch your brother now. Don't do that over there. Don't get off your cousin. Don't ride the dog. Time to take some of that disorder and put it back in order. That's correction. God loves you. He loves me. It's easy to get tied up in disorder. It's easy to go the wrong way. And God corrects us in many ways. We were talking a little bit about this in Sunday school. There's many ways to correct someone. My parents used spankings. I used spankings when my children were little. I'm not opposed to them. But as it was with my parents and as it was with my wife and myself, that was the final thing we could do. But there were many other things we did in between. So that we didn't have to get to that spanking. Corporal punishment, if you will. I called it the death penalty. Boy, that final, there's nothing more that can be done. We must take this action. We've got to correct them. We've got to change the path that they're going down. Because they don't recognize the danger that's there. I see the bridges out. Children don't see the bridges out. And we've got to correct them. We've got to change that course. We've got to change that chaos for order once again. We got to get them back to the place where they do the right thing, where they're living the right way. It's funny, my children didn't like to be disciplined, and I didn't like to be disciplined, and Lord knows I got plenty of it growing up. And my children didn't like to be disciplined. Nobody likes to be disciplined. But can I tell you that discipline saved my children's lives as adults? And the discipline I received as a child has saved my life as an adult. It corrected me from the direction that I was heading so that I wouldn't be headed in the wrong direction. So correction is profitable. And that's setting things of disorder back into order. So we go the right way. It's easy for me to choose the wrong path in life. It's easy for you. And the Word of God is profitable for us to put things back to where they need to be. The Bible says the Word of God is profitable for instructions. Instruction of righteousness. This means it's profitable for discipline. That's that course action of change. Got to change your course just a little bit. Sometimes when my son was young, I would say to him, Doug, I don't want you to hang around that boy. That boy's a good boy, and you're a good boy, but when the two of you get together, boom, it's like an explosion takes place. And suddenly two good boys become very, very bad little boys. And so we would discipline him or make that course correction in his life to keep him on the right direction. You say, well, why did you do that? Because I didn't want him to go off path. When he got older, he knew that God had called him to be a missionary. And I continued, we call it walking guard around his life is what we called it, to keep him in order so that he would continue to go along the path that God had called him to. I didn't call him to the mission field. In fact, I told him I didn't think God called him to go to the mission field. His mama didn't call him to go to the mission field. God called him to go to the mission field. And so we had a new task from heaven to make sure that he stayed on the right path in his life so that he could be on the mission field where he's at now. Where he's winning thousands of people to Christ now. Where he's impacting people in a foreign country right now. Where today they baptized two or three or four people in their service now. Where this week, I believe it's this week, they'll be feeding over 5,000 people at a church that's just 1 year old. Why? Because we continue to walk guard around him. We worked hard to make sure he stayed on the path that God had called him to, not that we called him to. And God says, I've got a path for you. I got a direction for you. I want you to make an impact for me in every aspect of your life. So he uses his word to walk guard around you and I to keep us in that direction that he intends for you and I to go down so that we can impact those that are around us, whether they're our children or our grandchildren or our great-grandchildren or our neighbors or our friends or the folks of our community or whether it is hundreds and thousands of people. God has someone that you need to influence. And His Word walks around us, if you will. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness to keep us on the path that God intends for us to be on. The Scriptures are profitable. Not only for those that use them, but for those that walk in them. As you start this new year, this week, purpose daily to read the Word of God and apply it to your life. God gave you His Word. He gave you the answers to your problems that you're going through in your home today. He wants to speak to you through His Word. But first, we must be willing to open it, to receive the truth He has from it. And decide to follow His Word. I think I've set them up here on the Lord's Supper table. I gave some out in Sunday school. To help you, I have a Bible reading schedule for you every day. We'll read a little Old Testament, a little New Testament every day. And over the period of 1 year, we'll read from the beginning of the book of the Bible to the end, from Genesis through Revelation. And every day you'll have an opportunity to pick up the Word of God and to read it and to learn from it and to take these things that God has for us. He said He's made it profitable for you. He's made it profitable for us. For all Scripture is given by God, by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, our beliefs, for reproof, our convictions, for correction, putting things in order, for instruction in righteousness, for the discipline that we need to go in the right direction. Discipline doesn't just mean correcting a problem. Discipline means the discipline to say yes to this and no to that. To go in this direction and not go in that direction. To choose that which is better than that which is good. To choose that what is right over that which is wrong. You know, for some folks, it's not a sin to do this or that. And it's not. But sometimes it's better to do this than to do this here. God wants what's best for us all the time. So He gives us that direction through instructions in righteousness. So He has that all for us. So you must decide to make the Bible a reading priority for you in the year 2015. So that the Scriptures themselves can become profitable for your life. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, how you can have the very best 2015 of your life? Can I tell you how to have the very best year you've ever experienced on a spiritual basis? Reading God's Word every day. Allowing God to speak to you. To show you what He has for you today. Father, thank You for what we've learned today. And thank You for this simple truth. Lord, I pray earnestly that every day this year, we would all pick up the Word of God together and read it, not only as individuals, but as a team, as a church.